Well, keep your Bibles open at that passage. It's a bit of a tricky one, but let's spend some more time thinking about it. Well, are you someone who leaves things to the last minute? Are you someone who needs that last minute stress, that focus to get things done? Going through uni, that was me. Doesn't matter what the assignment was, it was never done until 2 a.m. the night before it was due. I needed that stress, that focus that the deadline brought. It's strange how knowing that the end is near completely changes the way that you act. It brings focus, clarity of action. And I know every time that deadline kind of is approaching, I'm thinking, where was this energy before? Why did I wait till the last minute? I knew I had to get this done months ago. Why haven't I learned my lesson yet? That deadline dependence is something that I've been working really hard to get over. And I'm pleased to say that this talk was finished before 2 a.m. Mostly. Well, in this parable, we'll be thinking and exploring how deadlines shape one man's actions and about what Jesus is teaching us about how to live in light of the future that is set before us. So let's pray as we delve deeper into God's word. Join me. Our great God and Heavenly Father, please help us to hear and understand what you're teaching us through your word this morning. Amen. In this passage, we have Jesus addressing his disciples, telling them a parable. The parable begins with a problem for a man. His master has received an accusation against him that he has been squandering the master's wealth. He has been wasteful with what the manager has entrusted him to look after, namely his accounts. The manager has not been faithful with the master's wealth, and now the master is angry. So he calls in his manager, and he says, "That's it, you've been wasting my money. Verse 2, give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager." Well, the deadline has been set. The manager's time is almost up. He has received the don't come Monday. His options are running low. Then the manager said to himself, "What will I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg." This guy, he's got a big problem. He's about to be out of work, and being out of work meant being destitute. He's distraught. He's seeing his future just slip through his fingers. He's facing an early retirement with no super fund to fall back on, no other skill set, and no other way to provide for himself. Left to his own devices, this guy's helpless. Well, the deadline has been set, but he's not out of time just yet. He's received the don't come Monday, but he still has Friday afternoon. And his final job, giving an account of his management. He needs to organize his master's accounts, let him know where the money is, who owes him what. So the manager has a light bulb moment. He comes up with a plan. He's seeing his future slip away. He knows he can't provide for himself, so he calls in his master's debtors, everyone who owes his master's money, and he says to them, "What do you owe my master? Here, take your invoice. Take off 50%, take off 20%. I'm canceling your debt." Now, a few things to notice at this point. This manager, he really was wasteful. His master isn't treating him unfairly. He does deserve to be fired because, look, he didn't know who owed how much. He deserved to be fired. But he finally learns the error in his idleness, and his actions are finally set by the future that is set before him. He finally gets busy. So what does he do? He doesn't do what most of us do. He doesn't despair, but nor does he rob his master and get wealth for himself. He doesn't say, "My master needs a down payment, so I'll take whatever you've got right away." No, that's not what he does. He doesn't seek his own wealth. He doesn't go after stuff. If anything, he disregards money. He realizes that there is something more important. There is a greater priority than wealth. So what does he go and search for? What does he work to achieve? Not wealth, but a welcome. The manager knows his time is almost up, but while he still can, he makes friends. He uses his position, his status, while he still has it, to gain a welcome for when his hope for providing for himself is gone. It's an incredibly shrewd move, using his master's wealth to secure for himself a welcome when he no longer has a home of his own. So what's the result of the actions of the manager? What does the master do when he finds out? Is the manager condemned? Well, no. The opposite, verse 8. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. Now, this is really unexpected. Why does the master praise his unrighteous manager, this man who, in effect, has just robbed him? Well, there's actually a sense to which the manager has finally done what the master wanted him to do: use his wealth wisely. Remember, the manager was fired for squandering the master's wealth, using his wealth and gaining no real benefit. That's why he was fired, for being wasteful. But this manager was someone who clearly suffered from deadline dependence, because for him this really was the end of the line. But as soon as that date was set, there's this wave of productivity, and he learns from the error of his idleness. Things finally got done. Yes, the master's wealth was used, but this time, the manager finally got something with it, which is exactly what the master wanted. The twist in events being that the manager didn't get things for the master, but for himself. Well, mostly at least. But hey, I suppose that's what you get when you ask the person you just fired to make one last trip to the bank for you. Even the master can applaud the shrewd actions of the manager. But why has Jesus told his disciple this? What does he want them to know? And what does he want us to know? Well, following this parable, Jesus teaches his disciples that there is a deadline set before us. So we need to be wise. We need to make friends for the future and faithfully serve our true master. Verse 8, for the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. Jesus is saying, be wise. Be wise in the way that you relate to each other. Show discernment in your dealings with one another, and learn to do that by observing the world. But what is the wisdom that's to be gained from the world? What are we to learn from them? Jesus is saying, there is wisdom to be gained from watching the way that non-Christians interact and deal with each other. How they prioritize, devote themselves to their task, how they serve their master. The way that the world serves and worships their idols, like money, that is the way that we are to serve God. That is the level of devotion that we should have to him. The way the world serves their sinful desires, that is the extent to which we, as children of light, should serve God. Learn from how they serve their master. The children of this age are more shrewd in their dealings with each other than we are. They are good at working towards their goal. They are shrewd in their dealings. They know their priorities. It's just that they have the wrong ones. They serve the wrong master. So we are not to be like the world, serving their master, but rather we can learn from the way that they devote themselves to their master. We can learn from this unrighteous manager. This is not saying we should all start going and ripping off our workplaces and committing fraud. That's not Jesus' take-home message. So what is Jesus telling us to do? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 9. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Since Jesus isn't saying commit fraud, what is he saying? Well, Jesus is saying this world is passing away. It is fleeting, just like the unrighteous manager's job was. All the wealth that we have now, it will come to nothing. So get wise and make friends. Make friends in higher places. That's what the manager did. He knew that he was about to lose his job, so he was shrewd. He used the wealth that he had at his disposal to make friends. He made sure he was welcome when he no longer had his job anymore. So for us, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back, and when he does, all the money in the world won't matter, what should we prioritize? How should we use wealth? What should we use it for? Well, we should use our wealth to ensure our welcome into eternal dwellings. That's our top priority. But what does that actually mean? Well, let's think a little bit more about that unrighteous manager. He uses the wealth that was temporarily at his disposal to make friends for the future. He did not find security in his wealth, but rather he sought to use the things that he had to make sure his future was provided for. So just like that unrighteous manager, we should use whatever we have now to ensure that when Jesus comes back, we are welcomed into his kingdom. Our worldly wealth is a means to an end, not an end in itself. It's a tool used to achieve a purpose, a welcome into God's kingdom. Now, this is not to say that we can buy our way into God's kingdom. We're not going to be selling indulgences after church to fund the building project or anything like that. But rather, the way that we use our worldly wealth now is reflective of the kingdom that we seek to be welcomed into and the master that we truly serve. The way that we use our wealth shows whether we are children of this age or children of the light. So what will it actually look like for us to use wealth to ensure our welcome? How do children of the light use money? Well, I think it will look like two main things: faithfulness and loyalty. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? So how can we be using our wealth to make certain our eternal welcome? What will it look like for children of light to use wealth? We are to use it faithfully. We are to be trustworthy, dependable in the way that we use the resources that God has given us. The way that we use our wealth now is indicative of the way that we will use wealth in the future. The way we treat wealth that is temporary, of comparatively little value, is a reflection on the way that we will use true and lasting eternal riches. If we are trustworthy with one, we'll be trustworthy with the other. So if your employee at work is trustworthy in dealing with the smaller client, they can be trustworthy in dealing with the larger contract. And again, if they are reliable with something that belongs to someone else, then they can be trusted with their own. So if your kids look after and responsibly drive the family runabout car, then it shows that they can be trusted to maintain and use a car of their own. So we are to use the resources that God has given us faithfully, wisely, reliably. But what if we actually use our money and wealth faithfully for? Well, we're to use it to serve our master. No servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's one thing to be diligent in managing your finances so they grow and you have a nice little nest egg when you retire. But it's a completely different thing to use your money to faithfully serve your Lord and Master, the true and living God. How do we use wealth to ensure our welcome? We use it to faithfully serve our Master, Jesus, the only friend who can welcome us into eternal dwellings. He is our Master, and we must be loyal to him, serving him and only him. We are to use our wealth to faithfully serve Jesus and not be mastered by money. One of the really damaging things about the prosperity gospel, churches that teach you can have your best life now, that if you come along to their church, support them, that God will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, is that they get things the wrong way around. They use God to serve money rather than money to serve God. It's just such a perverse way of thinking. No, we're to use God's wealth that he has entrusted to us to serve him. One of the surprises that we have in this parable is the master's response to the shrewd actions of the unrighteous manager in making friends. The master praises him. I feel that this is a subtle little reminder to us now that God is the one who is our true master, and that all the wealth we have now actually belongs to him. God is our master, not money, and God is not interested in serving money, in making money grow, in seeing stuff accumulate, so we need to build bigger and bigger barns to fit our ever-increasing amount of stuff. No, we are not to serve money. Money is a means to an end. God is our master, and he is reminding us that he is pleased when we use his wealth to make friends. Make friends so that we are welcomed into eternal dwellings. So to use our money to faithfully serve our master, we are to make friends, not just for ourselves, but also for him. That's why I think the master praises the manager for his shrewd actions. Because was it just the manager who made friends? Or was it also the master? God is reminding us that our job now is to make friends for him, to use the resources that he has entrusted to us to serve him by seeing his kingdom grow and his gospel go out. So I want to ask you, is that the way you are using your money? Are you using your wealth to serve God's kingdom, to see the gospel proclaimed and people saved? Or are you using money to make more money, to see wealth increase and stuff accumulate? Who are you serving, God or money? Remember, the deadline has been set. Don't wait till it's too late. Let your present actions be shaped by your future reality. Learn from the world to serve our master. The way that the world serves money, that is the devotion level that we are to show to God. So when God our master arrives in judgment, let us make sure we have used his wealth faithfully to serve him, that we have been loyal to him. Make certain to use money to make friends, not use friends to make money. Use your wealth in such a way that you will be welcomed into God's eternal dwelling. Be wise. Make friends to be welcomed into God's kingdom, to be welcomed by when you enter into God's kingdom. Be loyal to God, faithfully serving him. Use wealth to ensure your eternal welcome. Let's pray. Our great Lord and Master, please help us to use what you have given us to serve you and your good purposes in seeing people saved. Amen.